Let me see Gemara. The Gemara is in Bob Nitzia. Not a problem. There's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Bab Mitzia, Pei Hei Yamed Aleph. Brings a Maaser regarding Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon regarding their Yisurin, that they took upon themselves Yisurin. These are pains upon their body. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon had open sores on his body, which blood and pus used to come out every single night, the amount of which soaked through 60 felt blankets. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi also had some type of Yisurin in which his screams were louder than all the horses neighing at the same time. And he was a very rich man. All of his horses braying and neighing at the exact same time, his screams went louder than all of them. Those are the Yisurin that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon went down had at the time. The Gemara says, Kulu Shani Yisuri to Rabbi Eliezer. All those years of the Yisurin of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son, Lo Shachav Inish Blos Mane. Nobody died before their time. Nobody died early. Everybody died exactly when they were supposed to die, no earlier than that. Kulu Shani Yisuri to Rebbe, all the years where Rebbe was getting his Yisurin, Lo Itzrich Alma Lamitra. The world did not need rain. There was no need for rain the entire time. It came down whenever they needed it. Yerushalmi Kilayim Perek Tes Halacha Gimel says, Lo Me Zuchayos Velo Yipila Isha Obro. Not a single woman who was pregnant miscarried, not a single woman who was giving birth died during childbirth. The entire years, all of those years when there was Yisurin for Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi and Rebbe Elazar Rishon. So what did that mean? What does that mean? I mean, why was it that just because they got Yisurin, then all the other pain in the world went away? How could that be? How does that work? The Kedushas Levi, the Levi's of Redditchev gives Jot. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Mishpatim, is all about Hilkos Nezikin. All the Babas, Baba Kam, Baba Mitzian, Baba Bas, are really put together inside this Parsha. And the Mela, that means that there's Yisurin. Because if it's Baba Kama, then people are being damaged. If it's Bab Mitzia, then people are losing out on money. And if it's Baba Basra, that means that land is being lost and that there's theft involved. All these three things, that means there must be Yisurin that people have. Says the Kedushas Levi, what's the point of Yisurin? Yisurin are only there to make you appreciate what you have. Now, at the point where you're getting the Yisurin, you don't want to think that way. I mean, in the midst, in the throes of all the danger and all the crazy things that happen, you go up to a person right and then, and you say to them, oh, wow, you know, it's for sure for a reason. It's all for a reason. That person should, and he has the right to punch you in the face. I mean, there's no reason to say that to a person while they're in the midst of getting those Yisurin. But the purpose of Yisurin, why we have these things happen to us, why the world doesn't just run in a clean, natural way where everything good happens and nothing bad happens, at all, and that it's for a purpose. It's to be able to grow from it, to know that you can do something because of it, and things will happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we need an onesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows we did something wrong, and he punishes us by giving us these Yisurin here in this world and not in the next world. And through that, he brings chesed. There's hashpos. There's good things that happen in the world. A mashal, a really bad tasting medicine. I know nowadays everything has that bubblegum taste, so they add on like some type of flavoring into everything, so it's all good. I still remember, even when I was a little kid, that the diseases were, the medicines that you took were bitter. They were bitter tasting. They had that like little like that to it. It was just a strong type of feeling where everything was just a bit too much. Just a bit too much. And for that, I mean, I just... That's what a bitter tasting medicine is. A bitter tasting medicine is something which at the time it might heal you, it might do something good for you, but there's nothing. I mean, it tastes terrible at the time. That's what Yisurin are in this world. It's something that is a bad tasting medicine, something that heals you, but it's something that you just don't want. At the time, it just feels disgusting. We all know the stories. Everybody knows every single one of the stories. The guy who, he missed the bus and that bus crashed. He missed the plane and that plane crashed. The guy who was, let's say, the guy who was running to catch a bus, he tripped up on his own feet, and then all of a sudden a guy passed by and he was like, oh, you need a ride? I'll take you there. And he got there without needing to take a bus. Yeah, Lahavdil, I love this story, and I've said it years ago. Abraham Lincoln. Do you know the story of Abraham Lincoln before he became president? The man was the king of failure. There was no better definition of failure than Abraham Lincoln. Nothing. He was famous for it.
give you the list. 1831, he had a failed business. 1832, he was defeated for legislature. 1833, he had a second failed business. 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. 1840, he was defeated for elector. 1843, defeated for Congress. 1848, defeated for Congress. 1855, defeated for Senate. 1856, defeated for Vice President. 1858, defeated for Senate. 1860, he became President. Unbelievable, isn't it? That unbelievable? That was Abraham Lincoln. That is the president, one of the greatest presidents that we've ever had. Why was he the greatest president that we've ever had? Because he failed. We know it's because he failed. It's the same thing when it comes to learning. The only way that you're really going to learn something is if you fail at it a bunch of times, and then you push yourself and you make sure that you get it that fifth, sixth, seventh time around. Someone once asked President Lincoln, after he had lost an election, what do you feel like? How do you feel? And he said, he felt like a little boy who had stubbed his toe in the dark. He knew he was too old to cry, but it hurt too much to not to. That's the line that he said. The little good line? President Lincoln was well known for his good lines. I think he said a couple of them here and there. It's unbelievable. It's such a line. Shevi Yipol Tzadik Bekum is the concept of even though you go down, something happens to you. You keep bringing yourself up. You bring yourself up back to the ladder level. And eventually, Shevi Yipol Tzadik, the Tzadik may fall seven times, but Bekum, he will get up after the seventh time. It's going to happen. Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Hashem were different, says Rebbe Levius and Rebbe Ritchie. They were different. They were gedolim. And our level, our yisurin affect us, and they're good for us. Rebbe Elazar Hashem didn't have anything that they did to deserve these yisurin. So when they took on these yisurin, they took it on for the world. The whole world's yisurin went on Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Hashem's shoulders. And when Rebbe Elazar Hashem did something bad, Rebbe Elazar Hashem knew that it wasn't him. Just for the world. So when he had his Yisurin, nobody died. When Rebbe had his Yisurin, there was no pain. They knew it, because it wasn't them. They hadn't done anything wrong. Now this is something that we ourselves can concentrate on. Although we're not on the level, obviously, of any great Tanoim of the time of 2,000 years ago, we don't have that level. We're not going to be on that level. Just remember, this is the last week of Shovetim. Shmos Va'era B'Shach B'Shalach Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. We're up to Mishpatim. This is the last week in which you can make a tikkun. The last week in which what we spoke about 6 weeks ago regarding Shechvat Olam Hatala comes into a real deal. It ends now. And of course, there's always the tat, the Shovetim tat, that usually applies during a leap year. And it still can work. It still has it. But there's extra tikkunim you can make now. You can do in this week and you can make it happen. Winter's mind is a hard mind, even if you have breaks in the middle of it. It's difficult to learn when it's dark out in the middle of it at 4 o'clock. It's difficult to learn when it's freezing cold outside. It's difficult to get up when it's so cold outside. It's very difficult to get yourself out of bed and to want to be inside. And it's a difficult time. It's a very, very hard time. Winter's mind is a really, really hard time. But let me give you a little mushroom. Let me try to explain to you what it means to break out of this laziness. President Obama decided to make a massive feast, and he invited over his entire Senate to be able to join him. But he told them, I don't know exactly when this feast is going to start. Get yourselves ready now, and when I say, come in, that's when everybody's going to come into the feast. And that's it. So the older, more crusty senators were a little bit annoyed with that, and they said, what, he's going to tell us what to do? They didn't get ready whatsoever. The younger senators wanted an in, thought they needed an in with the president so they could get involved with them, so they got themselves ready. Some of them dressed themselves up, others just got themselves ready. They didn't get their clothes on, but they, you know, got themselves ready just in case. You know, just in case everything happens, they have their clothes ready at the door, so they'd be able to run out and get into them. President Obama calls it the middle of nowhere. So those that were sitting there waiting by the door wearing their fancy clothing were let right in. The ones that didn't have their clothes on yet, but they had it somewhat ready, they were able to get in eventually. The older ones, the ones that were more crusty, who didn't want to listen to President Obama, who went away, they had to get themselves back, get their clothes on, get themselves in the party. By the time they came, the party was all over. The crazy thing about this party is that the party was the greatest party that President Obama has ever thrown. Made the inauguration ball seem like a nothing. Seemed like absolutely nothing. And they made decisions there that affected the entire country. And these guys were not involved. They weren't involved whatsoever. Here's what happens when you're lazy. You miss out on things. and you don't even know what you missed out on. It's like that guy who goes to the hotel, sees a great big wall, walks back and says, yeah, it was a wall. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Are you serious? I can't explain that to a person. The feeling that you should have when you go to the hotel, the feeling that you should have when you walk into a basement or when you see a gadol hador, it's just a feeling. You either have it or you're not zocha to have it. It's either there or it's not there. I remember when I was first here and I saw somebody for the first time, a gadol for the first time. I was like, he's just got a longer beard. And that's it. And I didn't think anything of it. I had no desire to see him again. I had no real inkling of what I was seeing. It just wasn't there. As you get older, as you start maturing a little bit more, as you start realizing there's something to this world of Torah that I didn't know before, then you start realizing the Kotel is a place where I should be crying. And if I'm not crying, it's pathetic. It should be that when I see a gadol hador, I say, that's the person that I want to be like. And if I don't think that way, it's pathetic on my own part. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's sad. Because our laziness causes us to miss out on the greatest things in life, and we had no idea. Absolutely no idea. You could miss the first 5 minutes of what I've said, and it could be you missed nothing. But you'll never know. Because you weren't here. So then you wouldn't know about it. That's the truest statement there could ever be. You could miss out on anything in life, and you'll have no idea. It's so crazy. Because when it comes to that, it's different. I'll give you an example. The Super Bowl was this past Sunday. I don't know if you guys knew, but the Super Bowl was this past Sunday. Okay? Super Bowl is a big football game. It's the championship game for NFL football, where the two best teams play against each other. And there are these things, you know, that go with it. It's only a little bit usher because of the commercials involved. It's only a little bit, but it's there. It's there. The Super Bowl was this past Sunday. I heard that it was an unbelievable ending to the game. Unbelievable ending. One of those classic ones that you could never expect, where like the team that's losing has the ball on the 10-yard line with 30 seconds left in the game, and they're all there. Like all those things that you ever hear about the Super Bowl being the ultimate game, it lived up to the hype. It was all there, and there was still drama even after they seemingly lost. There was still drama involved because they could have still won, and there was a trick play, and there were all these crazy things that happened at the end. It was the number one game, and everybody's so excited. I'm telling you right now, I didn't see it, and I'm happy about it. You know why? Because it wasn't the laziness that stopped me from seeing the Super Bowl. It was my own decision. I decided I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. So although I did watch about 3.5 minutes of it until the whole thing went dark, and I said, God is definitely giving me a sign over here. So I did see about 3.5 minutes at my parents' house. After that was all over, it was all done, I said, not going back. And when you make a conscious decision, not out of laziness, you do it because you don't want to, you have no desire, then you don't miss it. Because that came out of a real desire, a real decision to do something. But if it comes out of laziness, I just missed out on it, you have no idea. And no one can explain it to you. And you might convince yourself, well, I didn't really miss much. I didn't really have it, you know, it probably wasn't anything. But you'll never know, and you'll have no idea what you're missing, and the other people will just cluck their tongues at you and say, he just is nice. He has no idea. He has absolutely no clue. He didn't realize what he had lost. That's that. I've always seen it. I see it every time I go to the Kotel. I see those guys that are just standing there, like looking up at the wall, like hoping, wishing that they could have a feeling. That feeling of like a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I'm just like, it's sad. It's pathetic. You want a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and you can't find it. I don't know what that's like. Thank God. I know what to do when I need to find some type of concentration, when I need to do something. I can daven. I know it, but these guys have no clue. I feel terrible. I feel absolutely terrible for them. I don't want to say it's out of laziness. The President Obama marshal was a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, by the way, if anybody wants to check it up. It wasn't President Obama over there, and it wasn't the Senate. It's close enough. It's my interpretation, and that's the way it's going to go. What happens when you're a Zariz, a person who hurriedly gets up and makes sure that he does what he's supposed to do, and does it in a quick, nice, orderly manner? Leads to Nikias, which leads to Precious, which, according to Pinchas Ben Yair and the whole source of Mesilas Yesharim, will lead to Nevuah, Gili Eliyahu, and Ruach HaKodesh. That's what it's going to lead yourself to. That's the levels that you can get at when you're Zariz, but you have to start off that way. It starts with Zehirus, then it goes to Zrizus, and then you move yourself up. Laziness takes you away from everything that this world is supposed to be about building yourself up to the level where you're supposed to do something. And what is laziness? Laziness is not doing what you should be doing. Not doing what you should be doing. Now, what do I mean by should be doing? Do I mean going to Seder? Do I mean going to Shacharis? Do I mean showing up for davening? I don't even mean that. I mean like acting like a good person. Acting like a normal person who would live a normal life. Normal people don't sleep in. It's just not normal. That's not what people do. Normal people do not ditch people when they say they're going to be there. Normal people don't put their chavrusa in situations where they're not going to be able to learn that Seder. Normal people text if they're not going to be there on time. Normal people will go ahead and make sure that if somebody is missing something at lunch, or if chairs need to be picked up, or if there's a tray left on the table, normal people pick them up and take them back. Normal people pick up a piece of paper if they see it on the ground after they walk by it. Normal people will do these things because that's part of life. That's just part of life. And that's what I mean by a lazy person. A lazy person could be a guy who's in the base medrash all day long. He gets up for shacharis and learns for a half an hour before davening. He's there for hours after marav is over, and he's concentrating unbelievably hard, and yet when he sees a piece of paper on the ground, he says, I'm not picking that up because it's beneath my dignity. That's a lazy person. You know there's an animal called a lazy person? It's called an upsail. An upsail is a sloth. What an unbelievable creature. The thing sits there.
It just chills.
Sits upside down and does nothing all day. To the point where its fur gets algae on it. Its fur grows mold and bacteria because it doesn't do anything all day long. And those sloths, you know, it's unbelievable. Even wild animals don't want to kill it. The wild animals take one look at it and they're just like... Even leopards, jaguars, they don't care about sloths. Sloths are the most unreal creatures in the world. They have no defense mechanism. If they get into a fight, it's nothing. It's not going to happen. They can't punch. They've got nothing. They've got little claws that can come out. Little claws. But by the time they use them, they're dead. Their innards are already ripped out. They've got nothing. That is a sloth. And yet they still, even a jaguar that sees a sloth, they'll be like, it's not worth it. Unbelievable. The sloths have nothing going for them. Nobody wants to be a sloth. There's no one that ever wants to be a sloth. Chovetz HaTalmidim in Perek Dalet says the most unbelievable things about lazy people. He says, he sleeps all day, and even when he wakes, he can't tell you what he did all day. And he always, always has an excuse. And usually they're pretty bad. He thinks that he's still a tzaddik because he always finds fault with other people and thinks that what he did is perfectly fine. And it could be that once in a while he'll get it right, but it never lasts. It lasts for a day, it lasts for 2 days, whatever, a week, 2 weeks. Then after 2 weeks he needs a break. He needs that break. I can't do it anymore. It's been 2 weeks. I just can't do it. It's been 2 weeks. Are you serious? That's a lazy person. A lazy person finds any excuse in the book to get out of things. Any excuse in the book. Anything you can think about. Guys, some of you are going to be accountants. What's it going to be like for you in April 10th when you're an accountant? You guys going to be able to take a day off because you're sick? You could be dying. You could be on your deathbed, chas v'shalom, and you'll still be working as an accountant. Can you think about a lawyer a couple weeks before a massive case? A million, 2 million, 10 million, $100 million case? You think the lawyer is sleeping at night? The lawyer is sleeping in his office. He has a little blankie on his little couch. And granted, it's a nice couch and it's a nice office. But he's sleeping there because he's spending 20 to 24 hours in his office working on this case. Everybody knows this. A doctor during a surgery. If there's a surgery that needs to be done, what's he doing? There's no laziness. Like, I'm hungry. There's no sickness. There's no anything. If you're a doctor, you're there. For residents, before you become the doctor, to pull in those 36-hour shifts. I mean, it's crazy. These people are absolutely nuts. And we? I think I have a cold. What, are you kidding me? I hear you. I have a perpetual cold. I mean, it happens. But like, let's just remember, let's realize where we are. And why don't we feel this way? It's because we're in yeshiva. And our yeshivas, our makshiv, our yeshiva, the learning that we do here is not as great as it could be. We sit there and we say, well, we're not an accountant, and we're not a lawyer, and we're not a doctor, we're not a policeman, we're not a, can you imagine a fireman? A fireman, there's a fire going on. All right. God, snooze. You don't do that. Firemen can't snooze. People will die. Any type of officer of that sort, they can't do such a thing. But when you're in yeshiva, it's okay. 5 minutes won't kill me. Right? Another 5 minutes? It just won't kill me. If you're makshiv something, then you'll do it. And you won't be lazy. If you're not makshiv something, then you're going to be lazy. So let's think about it, guys. What are you doing? Why are you here? Why are you in this base measures? I don't mean this base measures over any. Why are you learning? What are you doing in a base measures / college? Are you learning, or are you just here because you feel like you have to? If you're makshiv it, then it means something. And if you're not makshiv it, unfortunately, it doesn't do anything for anyone. And nothing goes on, and it becomes nothing. So how are you makshiv it? That's what we're going to spend another couple weeks on. We're going to spend time trying to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean to sacrifice for this? What does it mean to sweat over this? What does it mean to do, to mamish become somebody, and to really think that what you're doing is important? Because it is. This is what the world is running on. And I swear to you, and I'm doing this right here, I can swear to you that if you would stop learning, the world would stop running for a little bit. Something will go wrong, because that's the way the world was set up. That learning is so important, and everything you do is so important. You're davening, you're learning, you're acting like a regular person is so important that, yes, there will be a death, a hurricane, a terrible calamity because of what you didn't do. That's where laziness is so hard. It's hard to get by. If you're makshiv your work, if you literally think somebody will die, or you'll lose $1 million, or you'll be considered like a nobody for the rest of your life, you will get up. But then it becomes you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be makshiv what you're doing? You're just going to say, yet another time. And if you're really makshiv your learning, it's not a question of, well, if I go there, I'm going to be bored, I'm going to baffle, I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to... No, you will. You'll do what you need to do in order to make sure that it happens. That's the idea behind it. And that's what we're going to work on for the next 2 weeks. How to be makshiv it, and what are you doing in your learning? And at the end of it, hopefully we'll be able to come out with something that will be able to explain why you're here and why you're going to continue doing what you've been doing up until now. And hopefully that'll lead to chakras being better, your learning being better, your minchas being better, your maris being better, everything, your whole life will be better. You'll be able to understand what it means to be a real person in this world, and not just another guy who goes around and is sitting right now at a movie theater because it's really snowing outside and he didn't feel like going to work today. We'll explain the difference between what it means to have fun and to enjoy life. What's the difference between those two words? To fun and enjoy. What does that mean? Hopefully we'll figure it out. It takes time. I'll stop with that.